Good morning. Today is Friday, the 26th of April. Joining us this morning is St. Bernard's High School.
Yeah, that's right.
Principal Paul Shanahan.
Middle school, too. Yep.
Okay. Well, then you're a principal to principal, huh?
Yeah, the principal to principal.
All right. You ready for your question this morning?
Are we ready is the real question.
It's a we thing now, huh?
Yes, collectively solve this.
All right. Well, the category is animals. So if that gives you any kind of a clue.
Jaguar. I'm going to go jaguar.
All right. Why is an unknown contestant called a dark horse?
Whew. I imagine it has to do with early submissions to races and maybe not getting the name in on time. And so there was a mystery around the information. You knew there was going to be another horse. You weren't quite sure on the name.
Right.
Come on.
No, not even close. Sam Flynn, a traveling Tennessee horse trader, often found a horse race planned in the same town as an auction. So he mixed a coal black racing stallion named Dusky Pete in with his workhorses and then quietly entered him in the local races and wagered heavily on Dusky Pete, who would invariably win. As word spread of Sam's deception, so did the caution. Beware of the dark horse.
All right. There we go. That had quite an impact to last this long. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's amazing how some of these things.
Bamboozling.
Yes.
Bamboozling your local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple of horse questions there, too.
Let's not horse around. Let's get
going. No. A gift horse seemed a little too.
right in the mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
That one I do know.
So you've had a couple of exciting months since last we got together.
It's been pretty spectacular.
Has the kid figured out where she's going yet?
The kid he's referring to is Madeline Shanahan, senior at St. Bernard's. And
here comes the bio.
Yeah. Second child and daughter of Paul and Sarah. She
no address or social security number, please.
No. Everyone already has that information. We had a wonderful college visit trip. Madeline got into all the California schools she applied to, and so we got to see Berkeley and UCLA and Santa Barbara and Santa Cruz and University of San Diego and San Diego State, and this wonderful little trip. And she's the kind of person, she brings herself into every situation, into conversations, onto her team, into a classroom, into a presentation, and same thing with these visits. And she was able to find things she loved about each of the schools, and it was just a great to see the different ways they treated the same audience, right? They know she's coming, and what the tour looks like, the information they're sharing, who's presenting. University of San Diego did an interesting thing we didn't see anywhere else, and that was, hey, we're going to take the second in charge at admissions, and we're going to take all the seniors, and we're going to put them in the room with the adult, right?
So it was a group rather than
right. Yeah, group tours, whereas students were leading a lot of tours, which is always a great idea. You've got the student insight and they're trained tour guides. But why not have, start with the closer and then go to the junior college student for the tour. So my takeaway from that trip was, gosh, California does a lot of things well. I mean, we complain about the taxes and the roads and our leadership and all that, those things, but to see the amount of investment and the effectiveness of that investment in some of those universities was pretty great.
But you guys also went out of state.
Pretty much she decided Boston College was, it's an easy trip to Boston College from San Diego or LA. You want to fly out and just see it for a day or two. She said, we saw it on an East Coast swing when she was about 13. And she's just, the West Coast is where she wants to start. That's great. Graduate school could be East Coast, but undergrad, West Coast.
So with some of the protests and stuff that are going on.
Yeah.
Being a good Catholic boy. have you been following how any of the schools are treating that?
It's interesting position for the school, right? The leadership. Because, you know, in some cases, these are, you know, you've raised students to be critical thinkers. You've, you know, you've done, you want them to have a voice. You want them to be opinionated. You don't want them to be, you know, without opinion. But how they choose to draw attention to themselves or their cause, you know, I imagine that's pretty frustrating, especially when you can't, you know, if your business is to educate people and you can't do that because of the choices made by others, that's got to be pretty hard. And then on the other,
or the kids being uninformed.
Well,
and just
in all cases, yeah. Right. I mean, the groups are big enough that you're going to have some that are informed and some that aren't. And you know what I mean? It's, you're going to have a variety, and I'm not in those groups, so I can't speak to that beyond that. And out of COVID, you know, what do we have? We have this little switch we can hit, right? The go home and study online switch, Everyone learn remote.
Off-site stuff.
Yeah, with one switch of the, you know, it's just an easy solution. You can hit it and say, hey, everyone's safe. We know you're at home and it's not the same experience, but hey, you know, you're still getting your class time. And you might be at Columbia paying $74,000, but you don't get to go to class.
Yeah, that's. Have you had any, community reaction?
At our school?
Yeah, I wouldn't think necessarily because it's not a Jewish.
Oh, we have Jewish students. We have Jewish students and, you know, Jewish.
But it's not like the school is. So for those who are inclined to.
Yeah, target.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't been a target. But, you know, we're a high school. You definitely want to be talking about what's happening in the world. And I think that's happening, right? You want to talk about what's happening in the world, decisions that are going to impact you. You know, we have some kids, one kid's heading off to West Point and he's recognizing, his short-term future is going to be impacted
this could be it.
Right. Yeah. what he's doing in 5 years, decisions made in these next few months might have a big impact.
The next year
or exactly. So it's good to be aware. It's good to have the conversations.
I would think in history it would be an interesting
touch on that one. Absolutely.
Come back. KINS News and Information Times, 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian Coconut Water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's Homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's. The current events element of what we're experiencing with the pro-Hamas protests. I don't buy that as Palestinian.
Right.
I think it's Hamas. And the uninformed there, the religious overtones. Certainly Israel, America, Iran, Iraq, I mean the whole nine yards. Is that more of a religious class discussion or a history discussion or current events discussion?
Yeah, right. I think their students are writing about it in their English class. They're journaling about it in religion. And then they're definitely tackling some of the big themes in history, right? And again, generationally looking back and the stories that are feeding the current events as they're happening right now. And then the reality is people are dying, right? And so even though they're not dying in your street, they're dying. And so how do you as a human being respond to that? You know, where's the empathy for that? And then understanding the way our world works, we have a lot of safety in America, right? We've got a lot of safety at our schools.
Or we perceive that there is.
Well, I mean, for my life, it's been, you know, the tailgater, the person who had been drinking and almost hit me on my bike last night. You know, I mean, that's the level of violence I have to worry about, not necessarily a missile hitting my,
you know, right. You're not worried about the bomb.
The missile's not going to hit. We're not worried about that missile. But there are kids and there are people that are worrying about that. And so I think for a 17-year-old, a 16-year-old to be aware and talking and imagining what that's like and the impact, I think that's very valuable.
Or if they have family over.
Right, of course. Yeah.
You know, and Ryan was in from CR this week.
Right.
And he said that there's a kid on the basketball team who's either half Jewish or all Jewish. I think it's half Jewish. And his mom is going back to be with her mom. And it's like, it's real. And all of a sudden the whole team, it's real. Cause I know somebody now and it's connected.
Right.
That brings things home. And I think the discussion would be significantly different in the classroom setting or in the gym.
I think that's true. And I also think this current generation has access to first person point of view. Like we didn't when we were kids, right? So you've got people doing video clips on the ground everywhere in the world. And so as even a 14 or 15 year old, you can, you know, have someone that's your age kind of giving you what it looks like on the ground.
And do you think that's real, or have we become so desensitized that it's not personal anymore? It's like watching movies. It's like watching the TV news instead of, this is Papstein's sister.
Right.
Whoa. And that is a different level, even the same video,
though. I think you have a point. And I don't want to speak because, again, I'm an old man. I'm not a teenager.
Oh,
I
mean, if you're an old man, that does not bode well for this side of the studio.
But I do believe the way our kids are being raised with so many hours on their phones, there is a relationship. And I think they would feel and they would say, and there's some magic there, whether it's, you know, shared interest in music or shared interest in a certain cultural aspect.
Some commonality.
Yeah. And so that, I think, does make it real when they see someone who's struggling with, you know, real time world events. You know, it's not as easy as watching a news clip on TV, right? Where you can just be, oh yeah, it's arm's length. I don't have to feel that. You know, you can really feel the voice from a kid, another kid, right? And that what they're going through. And I think their BS meters are pretty good. You know, if someone's over dramatizing the moment, it's like they read that too. You know, I think it's
right. They think it's CG.
Yeah, they're looking for clicks, you know. But I mean, that being said, the world's never been smaller, but it's one big world. And that interconnectedness and the fact that Ryan, you know, has someone that they know, and you have a lot of that, of course, in this community.
Well, and Deacon Farrell also was there, year ago?
Right, right.
So you've got some folks that are... You know, again, it's a little bit closer. It's a little bit more personal. And I think attitudes change when it becomes that.
Right.
Rather than two or three separations. Yeah, okay, fine, whatever. But if it's one separation, okay, now you can see.
No, you're right.
See the excitement, see the pain, see the concern, see all of that.
The reality.
And
I think travel, we had a student group, a large group go to Europe over spring break. And, you know, that... Once you're in other countries and you're interacting and you're seeing how you're perceived and, you know, what it's like, not just as a tourist, but as someone in a strange land, there's that element as well. You get closer and closer to, okay, that's what the rest of the world's experiencing. And I think with Deacon Dance, he is there on the ground leading morning prayer, doing video clips for us because of the time change they were recorded. But still, he was bringing the kids into different communities, different opportunities to kind of see it again through his eyes, one step removed.
Yeah, it's what the Chinese curse, right? May you live in interesting times. No. What about the international kids? Are they seeing it the same way, interpreting it the same way, or because of their experiences and their background, it's a little bit different?
I think safety for all, you know, when you're away from home and there's, so I know, speaking from their parents' point of view, right, their parents are back home and they're looking at Columbia And they're, you know, so they're, I know that that's not, not, you know, that makes them a little bit uncomfortable.
I think maybe NYU is now out also.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So they, but as far as the students themselves, you know, they're, it's the end of the school year. They're, you're ramping up for finals. They've got AP exams. They're pretty focused on, you know, as we were as teenagers, you know, putting one foot in front of the other foot.
Right? Getting out of school. Yeah, that boom.
So I, you know, they have a worldview that's a little different because they, you know, of course they've crossed an ocean to be here. But at the same time, you know, they're taking full advantage of just being in America, studying and, you know,
not worrying too much about that stuff.
Yeah.
And that, I'd like to think that they, all the students throughout the area weren't so wrapped up in this, but.
Well, yeah.
There will be some that are, and there will be some that don't even understand or don't even realize anything's going on. You know, the whole spectrum is always there.
That's always going to be there. And as adults, it's our job to connect them where we can.
And to connect ourselves too.
Right.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's. Paul, the athletic side of things, as you know, always tends to get a lot more attention.
It does.
Good, bad, or indifferent. Probably depends on who you're talking to and whether or not their kids are on the competing in sports.
Right.
Or if they're drama students, or if they're in the band, or. However, this has been an extraordinary last couple of years for SB.
It's been pretty wonderful to be a part of it. And, you know, we have photos of all the kids in the office, sixth grade through senior year. And I just started counting the teams, and I got over 30. And so you got over 30 teams competing. That's a lot of losses. That's a lot of wins. But that's a lot of practice time. And, socializing, connecting, collaborating. But
had to use that word, huh?
Yeah, I do. Thanks. Every time. One time. Yeah, one time. But to have a state champion was spectacular this year for basketball. And it really, as your listeners know, having 9 local girls teams qualify for playoffs, having Eureka girls be so good, having the Arcata girls be so good, McKinleyville girls be so good, Del Norte, before they ran into an injury, so good. That elevated the whole community, so the state had to respect little old St. Bernard's, and to give us a one seed at Division IV, you know, set us up to be at home. And to be at home that late in the season is a real advantage. And we outgrew our home and then got to play at CR and sold out CR for these girls. I was talking to some of the Arcata coaches today, and they still marvel at the energy and the celebration, you know, that the girls created. So real community. I know St. Bernard's had the success, and you're right to bring that up, but it really was community success.
Yeah, the thing that I find intriguing, and it has been borne out over the years, you get two good families, two families who have the genetic code for athletics.
Okay.
Okay, not good necessarily. Yeah. And they can carry a school.
Right.
For 3 or 4 years, or a town for 6 or 7 years, to have so many at the same time, all coming through, I don't know if it could ever be repeated again.
Well, I think there's this opportunity, and you see this with youth sports right now, where they're looking at the girls' success, you know, and it's just changing the way they're visualizing what they can do, right? So there's this opportunity. Whether it's the Caitlin Clark effect, Madeline Shanahan, Layla Florvillis, you know, when you see it done, it's like, oh, there's a blueprint, and I can follow it. and I can work and I can get better. We have some pretty special athletes, but Humboldt's always had special athletes. You know, there's
but
really
in mass. That's the thing that right, is intriguing to me.
I would even say so that's a good point. I think Matt Tomlin, who's led the football team to 2 state championships and led the girls to the basketball state championship, he works so hard on film. It's such an instructional practice, and the preparation, the understanding, the concepts, that's a lot of the success, right? And that translates, as we've talked about, like you can take that anywhere. You prepare that much for something, and then what you prepared for is there, and then you have success, you're like, that's a great feeling. It's really easy to convince your brain, I'm not going to procrastinate and wait till Sunday to do my Monday presentation when I know from all my time with Coach Salma, if I start on Monday, by the time the game shows up, you know, I'm ready to go. Yeah. There are no surprises, right? And if there is, it'll just be, okay, they made this one adjustment. We've seen that.
Yeah, too. These little nuances.
Right, yeah. Right. And so from that foundation of kind of research, problem solving, game planning, and then using the personnel that you have, you know, adjusting to who and what their strengths are. It's pretty powerful part of what happens at St. Bernard's.
Yeah, well, and you see, I think with those successful programs is that it's not a template. You flex.
You have to
based
flex.
On yep. who it is, what the sport is, what your competition is. You, mm-hmm. yeah, which I think I find really intriguing. Okay, going off onto the geek trail a little bit. John Wooden didn't.
Right.
Now, he just got super duper elite
athletes.
And that was magical. But, you know, he had open practices. Mm-hmm. If you were going to be, you know, come on in the day before and watch coach, I don't care. You know, and to me, I think one of the most stunning lines that he had was, we don't have to be creative. All we have to do is to execute to the best of our ability and good things happen.
Right.
Period.
Yep.
Classroom.
Yep.
Concert hall.
Relationships.
Wherever it is.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, what a cool way to boil it down to the basic essence of what it is for everybody to be able to understand and grasp.
Right.
But that's why he was, you know, a teacher. He wasn't a coach.
Right. And that's why the people that played for him come back and see him not just as the mentor and coach, but as the lifelong friend, you know, because he gave him, again, those lessons that translated. Because yeah. your sports career is going to be finite. But your life, again, you're
for some
keep
of
on.
Us, maybe it was fleeting. It was not finite. It was over before it started.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then back to your point about just having a pool of talent. You know, Madeline's tall and athletic. You know, her mom played Division I basketball. So that's going to help you. Layla Florvillis, State Player of the Year. That hasn't happened since 1987. So that's, you know, having the two of them together.
There's the genetic element of
right,
it.
Right, there is. I mean, absolutely. You know, Layla's, both her parents played in college. So you have that. You can point to it. And then the rest of the team, super supportive, super focused, super dedicated, you know, getting better every practice, buying in. You know, you saw that on the sideline, you know, people are, no matter who's hitting the shot, the sideline was ready, the bench was ready to support them. And that's part of the success.
Well, and the buy-in, even if you're doing a speech in history class.
Right.
You know, if everybody's kind of there and everybody's kind of pulling together because of that common shared experience.
Right.
Pain, whatever you want to call it,
right.
of going through that process.
Right. Versus being given a group project by a teacher and two of you are doing all the work. And three of you were never even showing up to the meetings, and they, you know what I mean?
Oh, you had that magic in your group too.
so that all builds into it, and it's fun and it's wonderful. But really, the kids are just great. You know, having this experience with the groups of kids was pretty wonderful.
And it feeds on itself, and it feeds across the board to those not in that competitive arena or that area that's being recognized. Everybody gets to share in that glow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that understanding, again, back to John Wooden, you can get better. If you, as an individual, work on just getting yourself better, you know, that's when you show up early, you stay late, guess what? You're getting better.
Yeah. I suppose I shouldn't be doing term papers then at 11:30 the night before. Yeah, but at least for speeches, then I had a better chance of not forgetting what it was.
I know.
It didn't always work out that well for me.
All right. For those of you at home, speech, it's one thing to procrastinate on a paper because you can write the paper at the last minute. But to procrastinate on a speech, you really put yourself at a deficit. If you just take the time early, get some key ideas out, have an idea where you're starting and where you're ending, gosh, you're going
to
do such a
better job. That's why bullet points are so much better than trying to read it.
Right.
24 point. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan. So, Paul, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there and the real life that is and the flexibility that almost is demanded now in the educational system, mm-hmm. is education flexible enough to accommodate?
Such a good question. Here's my hope, and I think we've got the factory model still in place all over the U.S. And we bring the kids in, and they've been stamped with a date. And so that's when they come in, and then they get stamped with that date when they go out. And, they just hope for a good experience in the middle. And I think with technology, I think with that shift in flexibility that you're talking about, my hope is that we're going to be able to kind of crack out of that factory model. And the bright Brian comes in. I mean, he's reading like a gangbusters at 5. You're not going to wait 2.5 years for your classmates to catch up with you, right? You're going to have opportunities to stretch and grow and take advantage of, oh my goodness, his vocabulary is 200,000 words greater than the kid sitting next to him on the carpet, right? Why should the experience be the same? No, absolutely.
I couldn't count to 200,000. That's why I'm impressed with you using that number.
Right, right. So if you give, and again, it doesn't mean that we're pulling them out of the space that you can't, Brian can't be in the same space with Paul. It's just that, you know what, during that school day, your experience will be much more focused on what you're capable of. You'll be challenged in ways. And then we're out in the playground. We're doing this and that together. But it doesn't have to be where we're in lockstep. And then you just have this separation and then this tension and the separation, this tension until at the end you're like, okay, what did I just do for 12 years?
Is there a model that would allow – one of the things that I see is, you know, if somebody's accelerating – okay, that there's a tendency to put them in the fast forward class, advance them, do something like that. But then they miss out on the cultural and the interpersonal. And now you've got a 16-year-old graduating high school and everybody goes, ooh, ah. And they're almost a misfit.
Right.
Because there's nothing that they can connect to because there aren't many others.
So what I'm describing is an opportunity where, let's say I'm behind 2 grade levels from you, but we're in the same room and space. With technology, you're being challenged, but I'm also being accelerated. So it's not going to take me that full 2 years to catch up with you. But you're not just going in a linear direction. You're able to go in all kinds of different directions. So maybe your engineering skills are going to be, you know, you're going to have more time for that. But you're not going to sit there bored doing twice the same work. You're not going to sit there bored reading the novel because you got through the thing in 5 minutes. And so you imagine all that lost time, which is often, it comes back to, you know, what can the teacher do? You know, who's in the class? But with technology, gosh, we assess you, we see your potential, and we give you opportunities and tools, and you're just off and running. And yet we're in the same space. So we're both learning to deal with whatever we're dealing with.
And the
together,
social connections are still there.
All right there. Yeah. And occasionally, you know, there are those really special cases where you have that 16-year-old savant, and that's okay. You know, and then it's going to be part of their struggle. Isn't
sudden. They're not going to be playing football anyway?
Yeah, go
right. Forth and conquer.
Yeah, so that's fine too. But there is this opportunity that's coming. I really believe it's coming to give every kid just the best teachers, right? And whether it's because you're taking a Brian and you now have 1,000 copies of you, and you're out there and you're teaching in 1,000 classrooms. Rather than the 20 kids that were lucky enough to get you, and then they talk to their friends, and then everyone makes sure they've got you know Brian Bapstein for third grade. And instead, it's like, oh yeah.
Fan of Zoom or not?
I had a Zoom this morning. you know, with a family in China, that makes sense to me. If we're in the same community, I want to get face to face, right? I'm not going to be on the phone with you. I want to see. I mean, your face has done all kinds of fun things, but it's also the proximity and the energy that we have with each other. So I it's not just looking at your shoulders and your eyeballs.
Yeah, the nonverbals, but the nonverbal goes from the top of the head down to the toes.
I mean, the way you laugh, the way you move, it's all there. And yeah. And in Zoom too, you in a larger meeting,
and that should be defined as smooth. Yeah, right.
No. Yeah. It's easier to do and try to multitask when you're on a Zoom, and so you'll see the people's. You know, someone was presenting a product to me, and they're like, "Oh, do you mind if my general manager comes on? And do you mind if the president of the operation comes on?" I go, "Yeah, they can be on the Zoom." I mean, they were 10% of their energy was given to the presentation. You know, so it's yeah. So that's where I think Zoom has its place. It's not going to replace anything. So
I hope the Reliance doesn't drive that bus also.
Well, no, I think we'll be able to bring in some sort of technology, AI combo hybrid into the room. It doesn't have to be just a screen. I think we'll see something. I mean, I'm thinking big time.
No, well, I'm kind of giggling to myself. It would be cool if there was a limiter on Zoom. So you couldn't go back to back. You had to have a minimum of a 15-minute separation so that your mind has a chance to reset.
Oh, man.
Instead of back to back to back to back. And, you know, after 2.5 hours but 3 meetings, you're toast. You know, you may as well go home. It's over.
I think that goes in all of life. If you can take those 15-minute breaks and reset, no matter whether it's Zoom or something else, you're going to be better off.
Speaking of over, so are we. See you on Monday.